of you didn't recognize that fellow with the bow tie probably. You hadn't seen him in a while. Been off at college and playing baseball and all that kind of stuff. Thank you for being here today. I do hope you have a great weekend. Many of you will get a holiday tomorrow from work, and I hope you enjoy time and relax and think about what's going on. I noticed this morning when I got up this morning that Band of Brothers was on the History Channel again. You know, they show that thing every kind of Veterans Day or recognition. And I also saw Fox News Friday, I believe it was, and they went into Georgetown University area and asked questions of students and young people about what Memorial Day was. And several had no idea what Memorial Day was. Several said it's got something to do with veterans. And several said, we don't think they should celebrate stuff like that because it's part of American imperialism. And the guy said, where did you get that idea? And he said he went to Georgetown University and he took a class that taught him about condemning America for all its past sins and all that sort of thing. And one of the people on the Fox News was a contributor for the day, was an officer in the military who was a weapons specialist. And he said, you know, I graduated from Georgetown University, but he said, I'm not an idiot like that guy is, you know. And I thought, boy, it's amazing they let him say that on the news, you know. But our young people are growing up in a different country today than what we grew up in. There's a different attitude, a different sentiment, a different educational system. And it's important that we hold on to truth, and it's important that we share truth with people. And it's going to take a lot of patience to share truth with people who are idiots and have an opinion that is so contrary to what the truth really is. I've chosen today for the message to, I've got several verses of scripture that we'll look at and several items that deal with Memorial Day. But first of all, let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1 and beginning with verse number 4 of 2 Samuel. All of you know this was originally called Decoration Day. General Logan saw Southern women decorating the graves in May with new flowers of the fallen war dead. And he influenced this to become a national thing. It used to be the spring, it was May 30th. And then in 1971, all federal holidays switched to Monday holidays. And so Monday is now actually the Memorial Day. But there are still many cities that decorate the graves earlier on specific times where their state did that. John McCrae, who was a major in the Canadian Army, was a doctor, and in 1915 he was serving and saw all the war dead, and he buried a dying soldier who was a former student of his, and there was no military chaplain. And as he sat and thought about those things the next day, he wrote Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. That was written in 1915. And in 1918, a woman who read this poem, she was a Jewish lady, lived in the United States of America. Her family had come here, as so many did in those days, on the ships from foreign countries to be immigrants here. And she wrote a poem that's called "We Shall Keep the Faith," being moved by what she heard in the poem on Flanders Fields. "O you who sleep in Flanders Fields, sleep sweet to rise anew. We caught the torch you threw, and holding high, we keep the faith with all who died. We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies, but lends a luster to the red of the flower that blooms above the dead in Flanders Fields. And now the torch and poppy red we wear in honor of our dead. Fear not that ye have died for naught. We teach the lesson that ye wrought in Flanders Fields." If you're in your text this morning, in 2 Samuel 1 and verse 4, David is in a place called Ziklag. After a great battle, they went there to rest up a bit. And news comes to David. David said unto him, "How went the matter? I pray thee tell me." And he answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. Saul was the king of Israel. David was anointed some years prior to this to be the king over Israel, but he waited for God to remove Saul. And now Saul has died, and Jonathan, his son, was David's best friend. They were knit together. They loved each other with a deep love. In verse 11 and 12, David took hold on his clothes and rent them, likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And drop down to verse 17. David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and Jonathan his son. "Also he bade them teach the children of Judah to use the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their eyes, in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?" The mighty are fallen in the midst of the battle. They are urged to take up the cause, as the poem from Flanders Field urges to take up the cause, as the poem "Not to Lose Faith" urges, take up the cause. And we too have been urged to take up the cause. Each year in Memorial Day, the great graveyard that was purchased because of all the war dead has been added to again because they had completely run out of places for burials. And soldiers place flags on the 260,000 graves at Arlington and patrol it 24/7 during this Memorial Weekend. Since 1998, boys and girls of the Scouts have placed candles on 15,300 graves in the military parks surrounding the area. There are celebrations in most towns and cities and counties on Memorial Weekend, and the United States Air Force flies over, and sometimes the Blue Angels, sometimes the other militaries involved in air flyovers with a missing man position, a plane left out of the group as they fly over. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, where it is patrolled continuously at Arlington. Their soldiers never die until they're forgotten. The tomb guards, part of their motto is, "We will never forget." The 3rd Infantry Regiment is called the Old Guard because it was from them was chosen the group to be the Tomb Sentinels. The Tomb Sentinels pass a daily inspection. They take their turn of walking guard, and they take 21 steps, and they will turn north, south, east, and west, and they take those steps each day. And then they change the guard every hour. And when the park is closed, they spend guard for 1 hour, but when the park is open, they change the guards every 30 minutes. They say it is a great honor to serve in this respect. When the United States was given the Statue of Liberty, because of providing freedom for the rest of the world during war, a lady by the name of Emma Lazarus, she refused to at first to write a poem for the Statue of Liberty, but her friend Constance Harrison convinced her that the immigrants coming to the United States would be inspired by the Statue of Liberty, welcoming them to the shores. So she wrote a poem. It was donated for auction to the Pedestal Fund for the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. "Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame the imprisoned lighting, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." It was comparing the Colossus of Rhodes, one of the great wonders of the world, with the Statue of Liberty, is the issue about that first line, "not like the brazen giant Greek fame." So the people who have come to the United States and gone through Ellis Island have found the welcome and the freedom and the United States open arms if they're willing to unite with us and take our pledge and become a part of us. They are welcome to be here. There was a negative term that was spread about all the Italians coming to the United States, and they pinned on their lapels 3 letters, WOP, and they got called WOPs. And what that means is without papers. They came into the United States without papers, proper immigration papers and that sort of thing. And so the many Italians wore that term that often people come to the United States looking for the freedoms and the liberties we enjoy. Quite often now they're looking for the prosperity that is here in the United States of America. And a lot of people have a wrong view. They think America's heaven. I remember talking to girls in other countries in Okinawa and Japan and Vietnam, and and they all wanted to come to America. To them, it represented heaven, a place of freedom, a place where you got food, a place where you could eat, a place to live, and you didn't have to live in a chicken coop or something. And they sought America for those reasons. And we enjoy these things, but we forget and take them for granted. Now, David didn't take anything for granted about Saul and Jonathan. And he wept and mourned over their deaths. And he encouraged the people to do the same. On Memorial Day, we remember those who have died. Like David's challenge, the mighty are fallen in the midst of the battle. Over 1 million have died in wars for the United States of America. How we remember them. How is it that we will remember? We will read a poem. We'll have a church service. We'll have a cookout. But we'll pause during all those times to take a moment or two. Too often in government celebrations, the pause is a moment of silence. What in the world does that mean, a moment of silence? What it ought to mean is let's pray in the name of Jesus Christ and ask for God's help for the families of those who have fallen. David called to take up the sword. The battle is not over. In the New Testament, the book of Ephesians talks about the armor of God, the spiritual armor, that we're to put on the helmet, the knowledge of salvation, the breastplate, the bulletproof vest of truth and righteousness. And we're to take up the sword, which is the word of God, and the shield that is our faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, praying with all prayer and supplication, make our requests known unto God and seek His forgiveness and His protection. Now each Sunday we come to this place, on this table in front of you. Stared like fallen, looked dumb. Right here it's written, in remembrance of me. This is a communion table. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we are to do it in remembering the Lord's death until He comes. Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. But we are to remember the sacrifice He made in dying on the cross for our sins. And we're to remember that until He comes again. And this table is a reminder of that. And the communion we observe when we do that reminds us of it also. Back in 1 Samuel 31, if you still have your Bibles open, verse 11 through 13. Let me back up and read verse 8. It sounds gross, but I think we need to hear this truth. Came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, their pagan god. And they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that, which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burned them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Valiant men went all night. It isn't just men who serve in the military. I don't know if you noticed Donna stood with Frank. Frank was a career Army. Donna was in the Army. It's where she met Frank. And they got married. And Donna was a Christian and led Frank to Christ. Thank God for their service. Thank God they're saved. And there are many ladies who have served in many capacities in the military. For a long time, they did not serve in actual combat, but in rear areas were often attacked or bombed, and so there were numbers of them that were wounded and had all kinds of adversity, and some who died. Now, these valiant men left their homes. They left their families. They left their fields. They left their flocks. And they traveled all night knowing they were going to do something that the enemy would not like. And they were risking their life and loss for what they were going through. You see, there's a great cost of war. The cost of dismemberment. The cost of death. The cost of what it cost a country to fight a battle. So these took life and limb into their own hands, and they went all night. They took the bodies of Saul and his sons down. Jonathan, the most popular of these young men, and the one who had befriended David. Jonathan saved David's life when his father Saul would throw a javelin at David and wanted to kill him because his popularity had outgrown Saul's. And Jonathan got word to him through the use of an arrow and sent it a distance so he knew not to come to the meal on that night. David published, if you're still open in your Bible, look at 2 Samuel 2 and verse 5. Let me read verse 4. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. In Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went into Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame. I'm in the wrong passage, excuse me. I want to back up to 2 Samuel 2 and verse 5 through 7. I went to chapter 5 instead of verse 5 of chapter 2. David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. Now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. So David is making these men of Jabesh-Gilead aware that he appreciates what they have done, and he has already been anointed to be king by Samuel the prophet when he was a young man. Now he's anointed the second time to be king over his tribe of people, of Judah. And then later, when he unifies the nation, he will be anointed again the third time to be king and reign over all Israel. But what a great cost there is in war. I was wounded in Vietnam in 1970, and 13 were on the helicopter that I was medevaced on. I was in the hospital for over 2 months. I was wounded in the chest. Both my lungs were penetrated. I almost lost my right leg from the wounds I received there, but I count myself very fortunate. I saw so many young men in the hospital with me during those times. One by the name of Cherry from Charlotte, who was wounded in the same action that I was wounded in the face. I'll never forget hearing his screams. And though I was wounded with both lungs penetrated and filling up with blood, I waved the corpsman on to him. I couldn't stand the screams. I saw men who lost arms and legs, and some who lost both their legs. Over 50,000 died. General Sherman of the Northern Army on its march to the sea burned everything in the South to help bring the war to an end. And he wrote, "War is hell. War's not hell. But it's an experience of almost like being in hell for a brief period of time. David desired to do a kindness to the house of Jonathan because of all that Jonathan had done for him. Now, most kings would take over. They would kill all of the family of the previous king. They didn't want anybody from that family to be used to make a revolt against them or anything of that nature. But David didn't do that. And David asked if there were any of the house of Saul, any of the house of Jonathan still alive. I want to do a kindness in the name of Jonathan. They said there's one, his name is Mephibosheth, but he's crippled. The nurse ran with him when the news came of Saul's death, and she fell, and his legs were broken, and he remained a cripple. Cripple Mephibosheth, crippled from a fall. That's why we have a sin nature, is because of our parents' fall in sin, Adam and Eve. It was passed down to all of us. Well, David restored all the lands and property to Mephibosheth that had belonged to his family. But he said, Mephibosheth, you will come and eat at my table. This is a great type and picture of the grace of God that's been extended to us. Jesus died for us, and though we are sinners, he loved us and died for us, and the mercy of God is extended for all who are sinful and wicked can turn from those things and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And the Lord wants us today to take up the battle, take up the sword, take up the cause. In Deuteronomy 8, God talked to the nation of Israel about their time in the wilderness and how he took care of them and supplied their needs and fed them. And he rehearsed everything with them. He said, you're going into a land and you're going to inherit houses that are already built, fields that are already planted. And he said, when you eat of the corn of the new corn of the land, he said, don't forget God. Don't forget who it came from. Don't forget God's grace and God's mercy. Israel was to remember God's leading and goodness to them. He warned them in Deuteronomy 8:11, beware lest ye forget the Lord. Remember God's word. Remember what God did for them. Remember what God delivered them from. Remember when you prosper, don't start thinking that you did this with your own hand. It is by the grace of God that we live and move and have our being and have what we have. So the time of Memorial Weekend, we must not forget the cause of Christ. In the cause of Christ, we're to take up the shield of faith. And remember what David said when he was a young man and went against Goliath, the giant. The Philistines had encamped around Israel, and they sent out the giant, Goliath. And he cursed Israel day to day and cursed their God and called for a champion from their people to come and fight him. Now Saul was head and shoulders taller than any man in Israel, but Saul didn't go. And no one else wanted to go fight that giant. David came to bring some cheeses to the captain of his brothers and to see his brothers and find out how the war was going. And David said, I'll fight him. His brother said, we know your mischievous heart. You're after recognition. You're after the reward. David said, is there not a cause? David stood before Saul, and Saul wanted to give him his armor. And David said, it's too big for me. I can't wear this. And he said, you're but a youth. And David said, I stood against a lion that tried to take the sheep from my father's flock, and God delivered me. He said, a bear came against the flock, and I slew the bear, and God delivered me. He said, this giant will be no different. And he picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put one in his sling, and he swung that sling around his head, and when he let it go, it hit the giant right between the eyes, and he fell down. I don't know if he was dead already or just knocked out. But David stood on him and took his own sword from him and cut off his head. And then they attacked the Philistines and won the great victory on that day. David's words were, "Is there not a cause?" The cause of Christ means more than the cause of the war dead. You see, people aren't just going to die as dying in war. People are going to die and go to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we should have a burden to take up the cause of Christ and share the Word of God as good witnesses. Invite people to come to church. Give them the gospel message and try to help them if we can before it's everlastingly too late. Let's stand together. Miss Gwen will play through a verse. Jacob, come and lead us in a verse from the invitational hymn. If you need someone to counsel with you or pray with you, and most of all, if you're not sure you're saved, please come and let us help you to know that today before you leave this place. Thank you to all our visitors being here today.